Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Amen. Well, as you know, this is the time of year when millions of Americans go camping. In everything from RVs costing as much as some homes to pop-up trailer campers. When I was younger, I used to love to go tent camping. And I really didn't consider it camping unless I was roughing it. But I noticed as I got older, sleeping on the hard ground out in the wilds of nature lost some of its mystique. My camping adventures grew shorter and shorter as I began longing more quickly each time for the creature comforts of home, especially including indoor plumbing and central air conditioning. Camping makes a useful analogy of the way that we Christians are to view this brief life in the flesh. St. Paul seizes upon this analogy, saying, "We know that if this tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, that is, our earthly bodies, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, as we long to put on our heavenly dwelling." The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. His familiarity with tents led Paul to compare living within these physical bodies with all the difficulties that sin imposes upon our bodies to living in the tents that he made. Like tents, our bodies are not permanent dwellings. If you think about it, the very design of a tent signifies a kind of living that was meant to be short-term. While nomads have long lived in tents, the fabric of a tent, along with its form and function, reveal that a tent is at best intended only to be temporary housing. For this reason, the Apostle Paul saw living in a tent as analogous to our bodily life in this sinful world, which also is temporary at best. However, since you and I have never known any other kind of existence outside of this body and this life, it feels like home to us. It feels like this should be our permanent residence. And yet, ever since the fall, these physical bodies are mortal. Once sin entered the world, our bodies began to age and to wear out and to die. That is, if something even more fatal and tragic doesn't happen to our bodies first. Though most of us live in complete denial of this fact, the grim reality that we do not want to face is that we are all going to die someday. And no breakthrough in medical science is going to prevent it. Death has turned your earthly body into interim housing for your soul. Now, we would all like to think that death is a long way off for us. But the truth is, we don't really know that. We don't really know if it is or not. What we do know is that death is the inevitable consequence of sin that has been passed down to us from Adam. And this is why, even though this body feels like home to me, it's not. For as long as we live in this body and in this life, my contention, which was Paul's, is that the Christian is just camping out. When I was young, I never thought about the bodily fatigue and the physical hardships that come as part of camping out. Back then, sleeping on the ground, out under the stars, in the wilderness, was nothing but exciting. Back in the day, nothing about camping seemed like work or drudgery or effort. When you're young, all that you think about when camping is the excitement and the adventure of having a close encounter with pristine, unspoiled nature. But I found that as my body aged, the physical hardships imposed upon me by primitive camping began to outweigh the thrill of living out in a tent for a long period of time. Over the years when camping, I discovered that it was taking less and less time before my back stiffened and my sore body began to long for home, sweet home. In the same way for the Christian, it's the same way for the Christian who is camping out in this body and life. When God created us, God built in us a strong desire that we cling to this body and this life. God made us for this life so that it is not easy to let go of it. It is only after years of fatigue from fighting the good fight of faith that a Christian finds himself wearied by life in this sinful world and turns his attention as he longs for the joys of heaven. It's only after a believer has struggled with debilitating illness and chronic pain that we begin to loosen our grip on this life and begin to look forward to the next life as a viable alternative. It's only after dealing with your share of constant sorrows and going through life's bitter disappointments that this life loses some of its luster. This too causes us to lighten our grip on this life that we once all clung to so desperately. Once we believe in Jesus, we can actually let go of this life and grasp the new and the next life that has been promised to us in Christ. Before we've ever seen it with our eyes, you see, faith sees a better and a brighter day ahead for us in Christ. And we do begin to look for our home sweet home in heaven. Only the believer who finds himself exhausted from wrestling with the devil, from dealing with the world's hostility towards Christians, and from struggling with sin in his own life will know what I'm talking about. For unless you have grappled with real evil from within and without, you will never agree with Paul's sentiment when he says, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You will never understand how someone could just turn his back on this life with all its possibilities for happiness and prefer to be at home with the Lord in heaven unless you believe in Jesus as the first among those who have been resurrected bodily to an amazing life that will never end. This desire to be with the Lord does not come to us naturally. Ordinarily, because of our inborn rebellion against God, as sinners, we run from God. And so this preference to be at home with the Lord begins on the day that we're baptized. But our desire to be with the Lord is not fully realized until faith grows and matures in us. Baptism changes us. Before baptism, whether we realize it or not, we are both dead and we are dying. But baptism brings us back from the dead to give us new and eternal life in Christ. Baptism changes our whole relationship with God so that now we can draw near to God unafraid and unashamed after having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are no longer that person who only thinks he's living while dead in trespasses and sins. For though through baptism we are now dead to sin and alive to God's purposes, and we are newly created in Christ. And so only the baptized, only those who walk by faith and not by sight, can truly believe and say of this body and of this life, like we just sang in our hymn, I am but a stranger here. This is temporary. Heaven is my home. Those who refuse to believe in Christ or in an afterlife, however, stubbornly cling to this existence, for it is all they know. And instead of worshiping the God that created them, they worship the things this God created. They live in the absolute denial of death, since they know that all their hopes are going to die with them. They hide from death by focusing on the beauty and strength of youth. That's the culture we live in, a culture that keeps death far out of our sight so that we can live under this illusion that we are immortal. We live in a youth culture so that we don't have to think about death culture. And it's true. When our bodies are young and strong, we feel immortal and invincible. Death doesn't even seem like a remote possibility as we focus on our youth. Those within our culture spend most of their money and their time and their effort trying to look young, to stay young, and to feel young, so that they do not have to seriously consider the eventuality of their own demise. We're all having too much fun living in the moment to even think about death. We're far too busy living the happy adventures of life to stop long enough to consider the gravity of death. Here in America, everyone is trying to retain that look of youthful, toned bodies in an act of age-defying denial of death. Women and men try very hard to cover up all the signs of aging so that we do not have to consider the inevitable downhill progression of this physical life that ends in death. Why, we even put makeup on our deceased to make them look youthful and alive in the casket so that we do not have to come face to face with the stark realities of death. Most people, when they see that body, say something when viewing the remains like, why, she looks so young. Friends, who are we kidding? You may look young in your casket, but you are still dead. The aging process occurs slowly enough that when we're young, we don't see where it's all heading. But if we were paying closer attention, we would see the signs of aging. We would see that our bodies aren't going to last forever. When death occurs suddenly and out of nowhere, we comfort ourselves by telling ourselves that their cancer or their car wreck was something out of the ordinary, and it won't happen to us at such an early age. Meanwhile, we miss the marker signs that point us all to our own mortality. Every ache and every ailment is another subtle reminder never to place your hope in your youth or in these bodies or in this life. Because if you do, hope will literally slip through your fingers when death unexpectedly confronts you. Every moan and groan that I make when I have trouble getting up from my chair or out of my bed is a reminder that this life is only temporary. But thanks be to God, Christ has prepared a home for me in heaven. At some point, I realized that primitive camping was no longer for me. I preferred to be at home. As Christians age, we come to realize this too. Christians eventually come to the biblical realization that this body and this life are not our true home. We come to understand that we cannot continue to live in this flesh and blood existence. For the Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so for as long as we call this body home, says St. Paul, we are away from the Lord. We must first experience physical death. We must be done with this body and life before we can enter our true home in heaven. As followers of Jesus, we understand that. We understand that just as he died for us, so we have to die if we want to be with him. And so when death destroys this tent called our body, this should not alarm us. For having camped out in this tent of human flesh for so long and having endured so much, there is a point at which faith makes us ready for death and for what lies just beyond the grave. We look forward to death taking down our tent, so to speak, and breaking camp so that we can go home and be with the Lord. For through Jesus, God has promised us something far better than even the best parts and the happiest moments of this life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.